Ramma bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 11, text number 33. Please repeat. Gyatvaj natvata yevaimam. Gyatvaj natvata yevaimam. Yavanyas chasne yadrisha. Vajantyananya bhavena Te me bhakta tama mataha Kyatva kyan Excuse me, it's a little difficult this one. Kyatva kyan tatpata yevaimam.
Kyatva kyan tatpati yevaimam.
Yavanyas chasmi yadvishaha.
Yavanyas chasmi yadvishaha.
Vajantyananya bhavena.
Vajantyananya bhavena.
Te me bhaktatama mataha.
Te me bhaktatama mataha.
Kyatya kyatvata yevaimam. Yavanyas chasmi yadrishaha.
Yavanyas chasmi yadrishaha.
Vajantyananya bhavena.
Vajantyananya bhavena.
Te me bhaktatama mataha.
Te me bhaktatama mataha.
Yadvya gyatvata yevaimam.
Yadvya gyatvata yevaimam.
Yavanyas chasmi yadrishaha. Vajantyananya bhavena.
Vajantyananya bhavena.
Te me bhaktatama mataha.
Te me bhaktatama mataha.
Everybody else?
Yatva gyatva tayevaimam.
Yatva gyatva tayevaimam.
Yavanyas chasmi yadrishaha.
Yavanyasvasmiyavishya.
Yavanyas chasmi yadrishaha. Bhajantiyananyabhavena
Bhajantiyananyabhavena
Teme Bhaktata Mamada
Teme Bhaktata Mamada
Gyatva
Gyatva
Knowing
Knowing
Agyatva
Agyatva
Not knowing
Not knowing
Atta
Thus
Ye
Those who
By
certainly
Mam
me
Yavan
as
Ya
who
Cha
also
Asmi
I am
Yadrisha
how I am
Bhajanti
worship
Ananya Bhavena
with
exclusive devotion.
Te,
they,
me,
by me,
Bhaktatama,
the best devotees, Mata, are considered. Translation. My devotees may or may not know exactly what I am, who I am, or how I exist. But if they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be the best of devotees. Please repeat. My devotees may or may not know
exactly what I am,
who I am, and how I exist. But if they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be the best of devotees. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur, although Yavan indicates that Lord Krishna cannot be limited by time or space, he becomes limited by the love of his pure devotees. For example, Lord Krishna never steps one foot out of Vrindavan because of the intense love of its inhabitants for him. In this way, the Lord comes under the control of his devotees' love. The word Ya indicates that Krishna is the absolute truth who appears as the son of Vasudev or as Shyamasundara. Yadrisha indicates that the Lord is Atmarama, or completely self-satisfied, and also Aptakama, or one who automatically fulfills all of his desires. Still, being affected by the love of his devotees, the Lord sometimes appears to be Anatmarama, or dependent on the love of his devotees, and Anaptakama, unable to achieve his desire without the cooperation of his devotees. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord Krishna is always independent, but he reciprocates the intense love of his devotees and thus appears to be dependent on them. Just as he apparently became dependent on Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda during his childhood pastimes in Vrindavan. The word agyatva, inexperienced, lacking knowledge, indicates that sometimes a devotee may not have a proper philosophical understanding of the personality of Godhead, or due to love may temporarily forget the Lord's position. In Bhagavad Gita 11:41, Arjuna says, Saketi matva prasabam yaduttam he krishne yadva he saketi ajanata mahimanam tavedam maya pramadat pranayena vapi. I have in the past addressed you as O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, without knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. Arjuna's words, Ajanata Mahimanam, have the same meaning as Krishna's words, Agyatva Mam, in this verse of the Bhagavatam. Both indicate incomplete understanding of Krishna's glories. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, Pranayena, his forgetfulness of Krishna's supreme position was caused by his love for him. In this verse, Krishna excuses such lapses on the part of his devotees with the words Agyat Brahmam, which indicate that even though devotees may not fully appreciate his exalted position, Krishna accepts their loving service. Thus, this verse clearly reveals the supreme position of bhakti. Lord Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita 11:54, Bhaktivatananya Sakya Aham Evam Vido Arjuna Gyatam Trastam Chatadvena Praveshtam Cha Parantapa. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Although one may develop innumerable saintly qualities, without love of Krishna, one will not achieve complete success. One must understand the personality of Godhead as he is and love him. Even if one is not capable of analytically understanding the position of God, if one simply loves Krishna, then one is certainly perfect. Many of the residents of Vrindavan had no idea that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, nor did they know of Krishna's potencies or incarnations. They simply loved Krishna with their hearts and souls, and therefore they are considered most perfect. In the perfect. Srila Prabhupada Kija. Om Ajana Timurandasya Yanandinam Shalakaya Chakshur Maritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapatam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So this is a beautiful verse. Even if the devotees do not know who Krishna is, but if they worship him with unalloyed love, then he considers them to be the best of devotees. So Krishna consciousness is a wonderful process where we purify our hearts to come to the point of developing unalloyed love. This is the natural culmination of following the process properly. Because the process requires determination and confidence and patience and strict adherence to the regulative principles. But if one follows properly, then ultimately that goal will be achieved of unalloyed love, but it may take some time, but it's guaranteed that if one doesn't commit offenses, then one comes to that point. So that point is to be completely surrendered to Krishna, to have complete love for Krishna, to do everything in one's life purely for Krishna's pleasure. And then when, if one ever gets to that point, then Krishna becomes conquered. Because it is said that just as the ocean is very deep, and the sun is very warm, and the moon is very cool, and the sages are very grave, similarly, Krishna is controlled by love. So Krishna is the well-wishing friend of his devotees. And Krishna, even people that worship God without understanding who God is, they are also benedicted by Krishna. Just like in the Second World War, there was the Germans, they bombed London and they were trying to destroy or they were trying to invade England, so their first tactic was to bomb London. So there was a blitz. They sent so many bombers over, and many, many buildings were destroyed. All the people in London had to go live in the subway, the underground, the tube stations. It was very dangerous. And a lot of the buildings were destroyed. But it's amazing, because all the buildings around this one beautiful cathedral, St. Paul's Cathedral, is a very famous cathedral designed by Christopher Wren. And that building was not harmed in the slightest. So you can see that as you like, but even people that have very little understanding who God is, they actually they get some benefit by worshiping God. It's just like the Catholic Church. Even though there's been a lot of bad things like the Spanish Inquisition, but because the Catholic Church is trying to propagate religion in whatever way it is, they're trying to teach about God. So therefore, you know, the Catholic Church is still very powerful. It's the wealthiest institution in the world, the Catholic Church. So even when people have very scant information of who God is, they get so much benefit. What to speak of devotees that dedicate their lives to the Lord? Of course, there are many different great devotees, and these devotees are all described. Of course, there's unlimited devotees, so they're not all described, but many of them are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the gopis, of course, are the greatest devotees. So they see everybody as a devotee. And in the chapter called the Venu Gita, very beautiful chapter, it describes how the gopis, they're glorifying different inhabitants of Vrindavan. Like they're glorifying the clouds. The clouds, they see them as great devotees, because the clouds, they're giving protection to Krishna from the heat of the sun. And they also spray down very fine particles of water to cool Krishna off when it's too hot. And then the gopis, they're glorifying the peacocks, because the peacocks, they're dancing for Krishna's pleasure. The peacocks are amazing dancers. You've probably seen them dancing. They have incredible way of dancing, where they raise their feather, their fan tail, and they sort of shimmer. It's amazing. Anyway, so they were dancing for Krishna, and then Krishna thought, well, I will try to satisfy the peacocks, because they're trying to please me by their dancing. I will try to satisfy them. So then Krishna dances for the peacocks. And his dance, of course, everything Krishna does is the best. So he excels the peacocks. So the peacocks, they don't really have a lot to offer Krishna. But what they can offer is the feather. So they give Krishna the feather from their fan tail. And Krishna wears that feather on his head. So all the different residents of Vrindavan, even the rivers, they, when they hear Krishna's flute, they become stunned with ecstasy, and they, their waves become, they jump up in the air because they become stunned. And it is a beautiful description in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Sharata Darshani, the commentary in the 10th canto by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and it's also in Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. So, all the devotees, they have some relationship with Krishna. Of course, the gopis, they're the greatest devotees, and they have the most intimate relationship with Krishna. And Krishna is completely overpowered by their love. So Krishna says, napayoham nirvijasamyujam, sasarikritcham vibhurai yasapiva, yamabhajan dirjagara ek shankara, sambhacha tadva patiyata sadhana. Very beautiful verse. Krishna says to the gopis that I am unable to repay you for your spotless devotional service. You have given up your family. You've given everything up to please me. And this is very difficult to do. And because of this, I cannot repay you. So you're going to have to be satisfied with your own spotless devotional service. So Krishna, of course, he does repay them because he enters within their mind and he helps them meditate on him. And when they do that, they feel the greatest ecstasy, because when a devotee gets to the point where the mind is fixed on Krishna, then one experiences the highest happiness, even higher than being personally present with Krishna. So Krishna has so many different types of relationships. There's one relationship he has with Akrura. Of course, Akrura, sometimes we think, or I used to think, that Akrura, he's not a great devotee because he took the gopas out of Vrindavan. So what kind of a devotee is he? And we don't understand that actually Akrura is a very great devotee. And there are three chapters, in fact, where his relationship with Krishna is described very nicely. And there's one verse where he says, this is in, which chapter is it? Anyway, it's in the 10th canto, chapter 38, Akrura's arrival in Vrindavan. This is one of the verses he says, "The Supreme Lord has no favorite and no dearmost friend, nor does he consider anyone undesirable, despicable, or fit to be neglected. All the same, he lovingly reciprocates with his devotees in whatever manner they worship him. Just as the trees of heaven fulfill the desires of whoever approaches them." And in the purport, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he says, "Someone may object, the Supreme Lord should be equal to all at all times. Why should he show special friendship to someone like you?" Akrura responds to this objection in this verse, "Though Krishna is neither a dear friend nor enemy of anyone, still he reciprocates with his devotees as stated in his own words in the Bhagavad Gita, 'Samoham sabhavat bhuteshu.' I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend and is in me, and I am also a friend to him." And also Krishna says, "Ye tam amprapachante tam satava bhajami aham." He says, "As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly." So, of course, we're all trying to surrender to Krishna. And it's not so easy to surrender to Krishna because we have so many attachments. I have so many attachments. And these attachments are very deep-rooted and very difficult to give up. And so we surrender as much as we can. And we desire to surrender everything. And even if we desire to surrender everything, it's not so easy because we have these attachments. And we can try, we can pray like Kunti. She prayed that Krishna would destroy all her attachments. But if we do that, we have to be very careful, because Krishna might take away all our attachments and it might be too much for us. I know this one devotee. She was praying like that. She's a GBC. She was praying that Krishna take away all her attachments, and he did that. He took away her husband, everything dear to her, and she was devastated. She said it was so difficult. So we have to be very careful. If we pray to Krishna to take our attachments away, then we have to be prepared for what might happen. So we have to be very careful what we pray for. We might pray for a gradual loosening of our attachments. Whatever inspires us, whatever level we think we can rise to. But Krishna has all these wonderful relationships. And there's this beautiful prayer. There's two beautiful verses. One is by Akrura and one is by Uddhava. And they're very, very similar. And they go like this. Kapandatastad aparasaranam samiyad bhaktapitagira suridapitagya sabam didati suridabhajato bhikaman atmanamapyupachayona yasya. My dear Lord, you are very affectionate to your devotees. You are also a truthful and grateful friend. Where is that learned man who would give you up and surrender to someone else? You fulfill all the desires of your devotees, so much so that sometimes you even give yourself to them. Still, you neither increase or decrease by such activity. And the other verse, spoken by Uddhava in the 11th canto, is very similar. Who would then dare reject you, the very soul, the most dear object of worship, and the supreme lord of all? You who give all possible perfections to the devotees who take shelter of you, who could be so ungrateful knowing the benefits you bestow? Who could reject you and accept something for the sake of material enjoyment, which simply leads to forgetfulness of you? And what lack is there for us who are engaged in the service of the dust of your lotus feet? So that's the position of a devotee, that we're so fortunate that we have actually come to the path of Krishna consciousness. And we're, it's the most favored position in the three worlds to get this opportunity to be devotees, but it's not so easy to be devotees because we have, we have our mind to deal with. And the mind, Krishna says, of difficult things to conquer, I am the mind. So the mind is very difficult to conquer. That's why so many people take medications, so many people go to different courses to help to control the mind, especially in this day and age. Very difficult, because in this modern age we're living in, people are very disturbed. I remember that Devamrita Swami was giving a seminar about preaching. And he was saying that making devotees in the 60s and the 70s was like the Satya Yuga. And making devotees now is like the Kali Yuga, because people have more issues now. Of course, except for a wonderful brahmacharis here. So people have more issues. There's more to worry about nowadays. There's more anxiety. But if a devotee somehow or other sticks to the process, and we pray to Krishna, especially if we preach, because if you preach, then you actually experience a higher pleasure and your mind is easy to conquer. That's why Lord Chaitanya, that it gives us a taste of the nectar for which we're always anxious. Anandi Buddhivadanam. So that's why the great devotees are always preaching, because they get the highest pleasure from preaching. And that we see that sannyasis, like Prangavinda Prabhu, he was talking yesterday about Indrajana Maharaj, how he's in ecstasy. He's out there in the kirtan dancing in the hot sun, and he's an old man. So how can he do it? How could Prabhupada do it? How could Prabhupada go through the austerities that he went through? Because he got a higher taste. Because the reciprocation you get from trying to elevate other people to Krishna consciousness supersedes any other anxiety or distress that we go through. So, therefore, we see the example of all the acharyas. They're all trying to spread Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was completely dedicated to his Namahata program. He's writing so many books. He's hardly sleeping. So this is the life of the acharyas, that they're always engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness. And this is actually the best way to control the mind. Prabhupada said that himself, that managing the Sankirtan party is the perfection of life. And that if you engage your mind in spreading Krishna consciousness, then you will be happy. So this is the gift of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially that he's giving the simplest process. You just have to chant Hare Krishna, you go on Harinam. When you go on Harinam, you see how people are so happy when they see the Harinam. When I was in Europe, of course, around this particular area, there's not so many crowded areas, but in big cities, you go to New York, because I was in Europe. In Europe, it's kind of easier because there's a lot more people congregating together where you can go on Harinam. And when you see the people, how happy they become when they see the Harinam, you become very happy. Because basically, actually this is the qualification of a human being when Dadichi was asked to sacrifice his body. He said that one who sees the happiness of others in their happiness and the distress of others in their unhappiness, then his religious principles are considered to be perfect. But one who doesn't see that, then he's pitied by even the immovable living beings, like the trees. So when we are happy to see the happiness of others and unhappy to see their unhappiness, then our religious principles are perfect. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had another take. He was so self-critical. He said, I'm very happy to see people when they're unhappy. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So honest, of course, he's just trying to encourage us that if we feel like this, this is normal, because actually we have demonic mentality, because we come to the material world. But when we come to that point of seeing that, you know, everybody in this world is suffering, and when we go on Harinam, or when we go on distribute a book, and we see people get just a glimpse of spiritual happiness, like when you get people to chant the Maha Mantra, you know, they always smile. They like to chant Hare Krishna. So when you go on the Harinam and you see all these Muslim people with their head covered and all that, and they start dancing around in a circle, it's very blissful. You get 10 more points. Because if you went to Charlottesville, and you went to the Harinam with all the alternative white people, and you get them to chant and dance, you get 20 points. living in a crazy world. Anyway, so we yeah, we have this wonderful philosophy, all these beautiful prayers, and but even if we don't know who Krishna is, like the verse says, my devotees may not know exactly what I am, who I am, and how I exist. But if they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be the best of devotees. So we may not know Krishna. Who can know Krishna? Krishna doesn't even know himself. Nobody can know Krishna. Krishna even surprises his own beauty. When he sees his reflection in a pillared marble pillar, where he sees how beautiful he is, he becomes stunned. Who is that beautiful child? So Krishna doesn't know his own glory. The Nantashesh is constantly singing different, enumerating different beautiful qualities of the Lord, and he never runs out of words, and every time he says something different. So God is completely, Krishna is completely inconceivably wonderful. His glories are always expanding. So even Krishna doesn't know himself. So how can anybody know Krishna? But we can know a little bit about Krishna. We can know that Krishna is the kindest person. And when Gopa Kumar went to see Lord Narayan in the Brihad Bhagavatam read, it is described, when Lord Narayan saw him, he said, I'm so happy to see you. I've been waiting so many lifetimes for you to look my way. Sometimes I was foolishly thinking, maybe in this life he will come to me, maybe in the next life. But I couldn't contravene the laws of nature that I've set up, that everybody has to suffer their karma and enjoy their karma. So I couldn't abruptly bring you to me. I had to wait. I've been waiting patiently. And now I'm so happy. So this is Krishna, that he's so happy that we are here. He's so happy that we're devotees. But he wants us to change the world. He wants ISKCON to be a very popular movement. So we have to, somehow or other, pray to Krishna to give us the intelligence to preach, to spread this knowledge. Because Prabhupada sacrificed to come here, and he wanted his followers to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that I want every human being to shed 400 gallons of blood to spread Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, I've walked through fire to spread this movement. So whatever little bit of sacrifice we can do to spread Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will be very pleased, and we should try to increase more and more. So that's why in the Varnashram system, there are different ashrams. There's the Brahmachari ashram. Brahmachari ashram, Brahmachari Gurukule, that from the very beginning of one's life, Kumarat Achyat Pragya, from the very beginning of one's life, one should actually learn about Krishna. But it may take a whole lifetime to become detached enough to dedicate oneself fully. So we have the Varnashram system, Brahmachari, Grihastha, and the Grihastha ashram, that's a learning ashram. It's an ashram where you make spiritual progress. But the whole idea is that when you come out the other side, you have no desire in the slightest to go back to the Grihastha ashram again. Even if you have a wonderful wife. So it's a learning process. And then you're supposed to become detached and ultimately dedicate everything. Tridandi. You know, body, mind, word, soul. As we heard yesterday, important verse, as Krishna was glorifying the trees in Vrindavan. Look at these trees, they're given everything. It is a duty, etavan jamasapalyam, how's it go? Tainam, Sada. So it is the duty of every human being to dedicate their body, their mind, their words, their intelligence, their wealth for the benefit of others. This is the only thing that will make anybody happy. It's completely selfish. The only way you can become happy is if you dedicate everything. If you hold anything back, you will be disturbed. So ultimately, we have to give everything. That's the only way we're going to be satisfied. So I have a long way to go. I pray you can bless me to give me the determination to become completely selfless. It's not, you know, it's complete selfishness to become completely selfless. The best thing you can do in your own self-interest is to become completely selfless. Until you do that, you'll have problems. Anyway, I'll finish here. Hare Krishna. Any questions, reflections, comments, corrections, whatever? Thank you very much. Yes, Prabhu. Stita Jayamuni, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. What's that? Wait till the thing comes in.
I can't help myself. I got a Trump the Bhagavatam class speaker question.
Okay.
So this is a small thing. So you brought up the example of Christopher Wren's church being saved during the Blitz, right?
Right.
And it seems to suggest that's a sign of God's grace, right? So what about all the churches that did get bombed during World War II? What was that a sign of?
They were Baptist. I don't know. Who knows? Good point. But it is a fact that that particular cathedral remained standing. All the buildings around it were flattened.
There was a famous picture of it, too.
Huh?
There was a famous picture of it, too.
Yeah?
It was really big.
With all the bombs going off. Yeah. Who knows?
The powers of Kuan Kirti, you mentioned, Kuan Kirti wanted to give up everything. And everything would be taken away. And you mentioned a devotee who had that actually happen.
Yeah. She told me that.
Okay. And you were talking about kind of a gradual detachment. But we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know. I may not make it to this Janmashtami tomorrow. You know, anything can happen. So it's a kind of a two-edged sword, isn't it?
We don't know.
On one hand, we need to offer everything we have now. But at the same time, we know that could be sort of overwhelming. So how do we deal with that? How do you deal with that?
Well, I mean, I have my karma. Whatever happens to me, you know, when you put your life in Krishna's hands, then you accept whatever position Krishna puts you in, and you try to you just accept that you deserve this and that this is what the best thing for you in your particular position, and Krishna's trying to help you. Krishna's always your friend, and Krishna is really just trying to, you know, get rid of some attachments that you can't get rid of any other way.
So perhaps as you've been praying for attraction to Krishna.
Attraction?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we should pray to love Krishna.
Mm.
Yeah. But it doesn't come easily.
Oh, I understand.
It's not so easy.
But that attraction will automatically then detach us from what is the word attached to.
That's true. But sometimes, you know, we may want to become attracted, but we have attachments. Like, even in the life of Srila Prabhupada, you know, he said that it was Krishna's arrangement that his wife, she wasn't very, she wasn't very favorable to his preaching Krishna consciousness. So he took that as Krishna's arrangement. Just in our lives, when anything happens which we don't particularly want, it may be Krishna's helping us. Of course, we're trying to develop love for Krishna, but the only way we can develop love is by going through these different difficult situations that detach us. So the, these difficult situations purify us, and we realize we got into this difficult situation because of something we did in the past, and that, you know, we don't want to do the same thing again because it's not going to help us. So we tolerate the difficulties, and generally when I have difficulties, I know why I have them. Because we can't, sometimes things happen, we don't understand why Krishna did something. It's completely impossible to understand why Krishna did something. But we just accept it, and we can't complain, because we know that Krishna's our well-wisher and our friend. So, you know, we want to develop love for Krishna, it's all about developing love for Krishna, but sometimes because of our attachments, we can't do that. So Krishna forcibly takes away attachments. Well, that's our philosophy. Pushkar Prabhu. Hold on.
Just a tiny, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said that he wanted all the members of the Gaudiya mob to shed so many gallons of blood.
Right.
Not every living entity. I don't think he had hopes of it. But the quote actually, he said
every member. I didn't say every living entity.
No, you said every human should do it. Okay. No big deal, but he said the Gaudiya mob members.
Okay, well. But Prabhupada repeated that book. He repeated that. I mean, he quoted that verse. He quoted that saying. What's that?
Yeah, it said every member of Gaudiya mob should
be prepared
to shed.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah. Well, I read 200 and then I read 400, so who knows?
That's true. But four, everything in it should do it. I don't think he expected it.
No. I'm not expecting anything to do with it. I'm definitely don't have 200 gallons of blood.
He says 400 gallons is not enough for a whale.
You're nitpicking. All right.
Hare Krishna. Addressing Adidev's point, Queen Kunti also prays, O Lord of Madhur, just as the Ganges flows forever to the sea without hindrance, may my attraction be constantly drawn to you without being diverted to anyone else. So the process of shravanam is so important, hearing, and in that way, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, the hearing of the pastimes of Krishna and the philosophy, then our attraction will automatically be awakened. And of course, that's a service to the pure devotee, reading his books. And it's the Bhagavatam verse that says, by rendering service to the Great Self who are free from vice, a great standard of service is done, and by such service one develops an affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. So it all ties in. So we need to organize our life in such a way that the hearing is going on, and then our natural affinity will awaken and be uncovered.
Yes, that's a very good point. Thank you very much. Don't be shy. All right, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.